in town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Let's go. Podcast for the people, by the people.
It smells like wet dog in here. It's disgusting.
It's because there's a wet dog in here.
Yeah, but I think it smelled like that earlier when we opened the windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's rain. It's the rain smell.
Rain's good, though. That's a good smell.
It's hot in here. This is an old building.
Mm-hmm.
We have that nice fan. Why is that not on?
I forgot
we had that.
This is a modular, right? Built similar like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been in here a long time, but I think it was moved in onto the foundation, yeah.
There was some point in time where, like in the 90s, early 90s, they're like, hey, let's make these homes that are extremely hot in the summer and really cold in the winter. Let's figure that out.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Let's take out the insulation.
It's cheap.
It is.
Well, this old thing, I mean, yeah, I'm sure the insulation's probably all deteriorated and...
We're insulated in here.
I would venture to say...
Well, it's a sound insulation.
No.
The roof on this bad boy, because I did roofing for a couple of summers.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's that really thin particle board.
Probably.
You know?
Well, you were up there. You helped re-roof it.
I didn't do the wood, though.
Oh, okay.
But you took the shingles and the tar paper off, and you saw the wood was exposed.
Yeah.
And, like, there's all these codes and all this crap, and a lot of times I don't agree with it. It's like, let the free market decide.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's a safety measure to it, and it's kind of funny. It's like, no, I'm a billionaire, and I'm building these houses, and I'm doing stamps of neighborhoods. We're gonna rewrite that safety code about the... So it's like, I don't know how to govern all that, but, man, they got something passed where they didn't have to go to code as far as the thick particle board on a lot of these roofs.
Yeah, I don't know. This thing, like you said, gets hot. It's hot when the sun's bright and it gets cold in the winter, but we deal with it.
Yeah.
It's hot in here and the window's open. We usually don't do podcasts with the windows open. It's
like a nice little mist, drizzle. Though.
Saving grace, the temperature is dropping right now, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And we were supposed to have storms, but...
Well, it's storming, kind of, you know, it's... A misty rain right now.
But like tornado hail stuff is what they projected.
Oh, well, of course. How else are you going to get those clicks? You
know,
extreme severe weather warning.
Very true.
I did hear thunder last night. So there was a little bit in the middle of the night. But
that got windy last night. That was a hell of a storm that blew through.
Yeah.
That was you snoring.
No, it wasn't.
You actually did two separate times. I was shocked. You haven't snored in a long time.
Was it like just a quick one?
No, the first time you woke yourself up, you're like, you know, that one.
Nice.
That's thunder.
I was tired.
I guess.
That's good. Get a good night's sleep.
Well, what do you got?
What you were out this weekend, Andy. You got to use the Rock Rooster boots. What do you think, man?
To be perfectly honest, I was a little surprised over how comfortable they were, because I don't always buy the most expensive or the nicest stuff, especially for myself.
Okay.
I'll just deal with it. Like,
right.
I don't care. Especially if it comes to something like clothing, like, you know, but these boots were the most comfortable boots I've worn in a long, long time.
Yeah.
The sole was real nice, which you can kind of feel it when you put it on. It kind of squishes and kind of conforms to your heel.
They've got like it's an add-on.
I haven't worn them yet.
Like that slip-in, what do you call that piece that you slip in on the bottom that you step on?
The pad?
I guess it's the sole,
like
right?
Like a tongue?
Like the insert thing that comes out.
Yeah.
It's called a sole. It's
camera up today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
the sole.
This is what I'm talking about. Bad
boys. Yeah, like the back in the day,
Dr. Scholl's.
Yeah. That thing's nice.
So they have these. Yeah, they have these inserts in them, which almost kind of look like an aftermarket insert, but it does have their logo on it. But yeah, for sure, that's super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised as well. And the reason I'm pleasantly surprised is because these things are not that expensive.
Mm.
I mean, thought they wouldn't be as comfortable.
Well, just comfortable in how they wear and everything, because this style of boot in so many of these other brands that you see on social media, these other brands are at least twice the price, if not three times the price.
Spend as much as you want on a pair of boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are like super affordable. Plus, obviously, we've got discount code. You can use the code FARMFOCUSED, all mm-hmm. one word, FARMFOCUSED. You get another 15% off.
Oh, score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get these on my feet. Obviously, nice. You wear yours all the time. Yours are lace-ups and then have the zip. You ended up not going with the zip.
Yeah.
Just the lace-up was out of pain in the butt to get your foot in, or no? It was
no,
fine.
No, okay. You just standard, undo the laces. Right? Okay. Yeah, just yeah. standard. Yeah, and I bought a very standard pair. You know, I'm not yeah. too flashy.
Yep.
I had the steel toe. And yeah, we're embarking on quite an ordeal. We're trying to clear out cedar trees for a number of reasons, and
mm-hmm.
we'll get into all that stuff on down the road. But yeah, okay. we took out about somewhere between 50 to 100 cedar trees.
So do you just pile them up and then light them up?
We did a couple of different things. A number of them we saved for posts and to make boards out of.
Oh.
We'll be taking those to the sawmill, make some cedar boards out of those. And then I got out a new toy. I never got to use one of those big, it looks like a bush hog, like a mower
mm-hmm.
attachment that you put on the front of your skid steer.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And like a forestry attachment that
oh, like that it pulls mulches. It out of the ground?
No, it doesn't oh. pull it out of the ground, but it has two huge blades on the front, and you just drop that sucker down mm-hmm. on a tree, and
mm-hmm.
I really tested its limits. You know, I thought, yeah, let's see what happens here. So I was taking out like 12-foot trees with that thing.
And they it, does it like mulch them all up?
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think they literally call that a forestry attachment. You said, you're just grinding the tree, and it's just yep. launching mulch.
It just turns it into mulch. Yep. So we totally yep. transformed one of our pastures that was getting overtaken by cedar trees. And now it's just a beautiful open prairie. Like, it doesn't even look the same.
That's
it
awesome.
Yeah, it really was.
So you were like a little kid on a tractor.
Yeah, it was actually fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was getting fun.
Yeah, I could see that.
No, that's cool. And I'm sure we'll have some more stories to tell as we continue to use these. But I'm glad the boots worked well. Rock Rooster is not paying us. They sent us some boots to try out.
Mm-hmm.
If folks use our discount code, I think we do get some kind of commission on the order,
yeah,
like 10% or something like that.
Probably closer to 7.
Yeah. So just to be completely transparent with people, like, we're not getting paid a bunch of money or anything, but they are just, they seem to be good boots,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and they're offering a good value, good price. And you can support your favorite podcast if you order them as well.
And it kind of fits me. Like I said, I don't want to spend too much on myself,
mm-hmm.
but you do want to have a quality product. So it kind of fits my mode. And yeah, I mean, you work with people that want to work with you, and they
yeah.
reached out and
yeah.
gave us a shot, so let's see what happens.
Yep.
I'm kind of cool. interested to see when you get your first hole in those, because I feel like you always somehow in normal boots, they can be super expensive,
yeah,
they'll separate, mm-hmm. or he like gets a hole in them
either, so, like either the leather will tear uh-huh. around the toe, or the sole starts separating.
It'll be a true test
on almost every boot I've had
to yeah. see.
So you drag your toe when you walk or something, or
I don't know.
Catch them on stairs, so.
Or what?
You're just really
I
rough
just beat
on them.
Yeah, I don't okay. know. Yeah.
And we even put like leather stuff on. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
yep.
anywho,
yeah.
What else? What were we talking about?
So I actually have been thinking about this for a long time, and again,
you like thinking about things yeah. for a long time.
And I've got some theories, and you know, we were talking about, obviously we always throw all these topics back and forth on what we want to cover, and I thought, okay, it's time to do this one, because I've been thinking about this. I've actually been thinking about this for years.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So basically, what this surrounds is the whole family cooking situation, and. Uh-huh. Who is responsible for the cooking in the family? But more importantly, what I want to talk about today is, why are we seeing so many men not, I don't want to say like being responsible, like it's being put on them, but so many more men are doing it in the modern families. And it's not just barbecue, you know, and we'll get into all that, because that's traditional. You think like, oh yeah, the guy's running the grill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the men like taking on this role and really running with it.
Yeah.
So I want to get into some of that, and I'll talk about like our own experience, and I want to talk about like, you know, because I know you're, mm-hmm. you guys, Andy, over at your place is completely opposite from ours. So I want to talk about that.
Oh, very much.
Yeah. What are, you know, our parents and our grandparents and those kinds of things. And then I've got some theories as to why this is mm-hmm. happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this is nothing in any way, any kind of like sexist, you know, women should be in the kitchen kind of thing. That's not right. what this is. This
yeah, yeah.
is just like what has evolved in our society where men are doing so much of this now.
And kind of like wearing it like a badge of honor.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
I cook and I clean and I do all that shit.
Yeah.
You know? I'm a man. Yeah.
And I feel like we've touched on it here and there. So people obviously know kind of the gist of like our household and versus yours.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've had it, like I've said, in different scenarios. Right. When I did stay at home, I did more of the cooking. So yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what your theory is. So how do you want to kick this one off?
Well, let's just start with what what we do, right? So okay. in our house, you know, Morgan, you've never enjoyed cooking and preparing food, right? It's never been something that that was fun for you, except for you like doing like baking stuff, like creating, you know, cookies or muffins or cakes or whatever.
Is that like a setting where it's you and your daughters and maybe your mother, and it's like you gather with your sisters and you guys do it together? So it's like for me, it would be like deer camp.
I think I've figured out why. Because cooking brings me anxiety. There's so many things going on at one time. Mm-hmm. You got a side, you got the main dish, you're going out grilling, you got to do this. This is in the oven, you're cutting this. Like, that's too much.
Mm.
That's like stress overload. And then everyone wants it hot. Oh, but shit, this one might be cold. You might have got this one done 20 minutes earlier. Sorry. Like, that's stressful. With baking, it's one thing, right? Like, maybe you're making homemade frosting, but you're okay.
And there's a structure to it, right? That would help with that anxiety. Like, we're preparing, we're laying it out, we're piecing it together, we're mixing it, and now we're baking it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a nice structure to it, right?
Cooking is just like, I don't know, a free-for-all. And it brings me a lot of anxiety.
I think to Andy's point, too, though, like, you have enjoyed, say, like, Thanksgiving when the girls are home and you guys all will spend time preparing each one of those individual pieces of that meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group effort. It's, you know, family bonding, that brings like that fun communal element to it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you enjoy that.
Yeah, and I think I enjoy that per se because I know there's no timeline.
Yeah.
Or like, we know that maybe company's not coming for dinner, but we're starting in the morning.
Yeah,
I'm a very time-pressed person. So when I'm under pressure for time, it gives me anxiety.
Yeah,
like, I don't
level.
Like being late. If I have to go to the grocery store and someone's texting me, you got to get home. Okay. Like, it just panics me.
Yeah,
so if I know I've got time, then fine. When I stayed at home and you had three kids, I was cooking lunch at 2 o'clock, or I'm sorry, cooking dinner at 2 o'clock. So then the kids walk in the door, they can eat. Then we go to sports by four. Like that's okay. I had a little more time, but when you have like another job, I don't know. It's the time thing for me. So that's my spiel.
Yeah.
I don't like being under the gun.
Well, and it takes something that, you know, maybe was fun, but then it turns it into a ball
of
stress.
That's the thing. So then when there are those Thanksgivings or Christmases, and it's like a casual Saturday breakfast and everyone's home and we have nothing, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Then I'm not pressed
to
get somebody out the door and, oh my God, I got to hurry up.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Well, and it also just kind of turns into a vessel. Like, the thing of it is, or you're spending time with the ones you love, and that the what you're doing isn't the important thing. It's the time spent.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Then the cooking or the baking really takes a backseat to what's actually going on.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. But for you, why does it calm you down?
Just a quick Google search. It says, and this doesn't give a time frame, so I'm guessing currently, approximately 60% of women and 33% of men in the U.S. engaging in food preparation on an average day. It does say men's has increased over time. Women still do a larger share of home cooking. And then there was another number I saw here that said in 2022, women are cooking average of 8.7 meals a week. Men, 4 meals a week.
Oh, so half.
So it's saying that women in general are cooking twice as much with some of these numbers. But and it says, here's another article. It says women cook about 2 more meals per week on average than men. So, you know, I mean, if all these numbers are correct, certainly it's still something that women do more than men. Mm-hmm. But that's not my experience with the people that I know closely. and we'll get into that too. But we've talked a little bit about our household. In our house, I'm more likely to cook as I enjoy it more than you do. I enjoy the, and actually I'm going to get into like my theories about that as to why I do more. So let's talk about your, Andy, your household. What's it look like over there?
Oh, it's ridiculously traditional. Ashley doesn't even like me in the kitchen. I screw stuff up.
Get out.
Yeah, get out of here, you know.
Do you have to take the kids? Kind of get them out.
Yeah, you know, all three of those kids, they have a knack. I think like all kids do, they want to be in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So they want to be in the kitchen helping out, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part. And Ashley does a really good job of recognizing that and then trying to give them jobs that they can handle.
Okay, but, I like that.
It always ends up in crying and screaming and throwing things. And so, you know.
Right.
It's a mess, which good cooking's messy anyway, so it all works out.
Yeah.
You know, and
so then when that happens, then are you responsible for cleaning up, or does she do that as well?
I try to do my part. Yeah. So I do try to clean the dishes, and I have found myself cooking more than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, it's usually for the family, it's something simple, like I'm grilling, like mm-hmm. I'll fire up the mm-hmm. Traeger and do brats or whatever. Or I'm making myself something like a breakfast burrito, like with an egg.
I could use one of those right now.
And like I've gotten pretty good at it, you know, I've gotten pretty good at it and efficient at it, which I'm taking a little bit more time to focus on my health. So like I'd rather eat an egg that's loaded with protein rather than everything bagel or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So I think some of it is with me cooking more, it's because, well, I'm cooking for my family, whether that's on the grill, you know, on a Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
or I'm cooking for myself because I'm a little bit more health conscious than I, you know, used to be.
Yeah.
So
let's talk a little bit about that next generation back. So your parents, how you were raised, what mm-hmm. was that like?
We're a on-the-go family, so Mom still did the vast majority of all the cooking, but it was out of a box a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, and fast. But when she did
a hamburger helper or like,
exactly. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Spaghetti, yep. whatever. And it was always good. And it was, nine times out of 10, it was Mom.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was, you know?
So I think that and that's not something that we're really going to dig into, but what is actually being cooked. And like you talked about, those quick meals, the out-of-the-box things, the TV dinners, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a whole other conversation, but I think that's a picture of our generation of that age.
Mm.
I think it was happening all over the place because I know that was happening in our house.
My house,
and
too.
We were, you know, we lived 4 hours from each other, and I started growing up in a city-type environment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dad mm-hmm. was a cop. Mom worked at the gas company, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was like 9 years old, we moved out to the farm. But that still continued. So my point is that it wasn't particular to any type of lifestyle.
Right.
That was just what was pushed on us from from like big food.
No, you hit the nail on the head. And I've done, you know, I got a degree in marketing, and that's a hell of a case study. There is how that was so hardcore pushed. And it was also kind of fell in line with a feminism move. Like you don't, you know, the modern day woman doesn't have time to, you know, waste all this time on this and that. And you can still be a good mother, just hamburger helper, you know, mm-hmm. like there's a huge, huge, you know, multi-million dollar, you know, push behind how that all came to be. But even with that, it was still the mom.
Yeah.
Doing the majority of the cooking, vast majority of the cooking, and getting it all put together.
And from a time standpoint, there was more and more women entering the workforce.
Sure. A lot of it was necessity, too.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Two-income households having to make stuff work. What was it like at your house, Morgan?
Yeah. I mean, my parents were both teachers. So someone had sports after school normally, or we did.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were coaching or whatever. But a lot of times, my mom did quick stuff, or my dad did do a decent amount too, I would say. But we were also kind of left to make our own stuff, like make yourself a sandwich or,
you
know, which wasn't horrible, but maybe that's where I started not enjoying it. Like if I don't know, I've never really thought about it as I'm speaking about it.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy doing that for myself, where even our adult children are home now. They totally want to be fed. I mean, a 23-year-old and a 19-year-old, they're like, what's for dinner?
It's also because of how they were raised. It's a picture
right,
of how
like
they
don't really want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been talking, having conversations. Obviously, they do it because they live on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But going back home, man, they want that cooked for them.
That's me and my brothers. Like, we can't do anything for ourselves. We can't cook. We can't do our laundry. None of that. So
my house, we've talked about that, very similar to what Andy was saying. So let's finish that off with the next generation behind that. So your grandparents, do you remember how your grandparents handled that?
Not really. Nope.
Yeah.
Andrew passed away when I was about 8 or 9 months before I was born. Mm-hmm. 7 or 8 months before I was born.
Oh.
And I never really, I was really young when Grandma Betty passed away in Lynch.
Okay.
And so when we would go visit out in Maryland, that was just, you know, once every
pretty
couple
rare.
Of years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I probably never got a good clear picture of that.
So on my side, on my mom's side of the family, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. So I got to see that very, very closely. And my grandma was more of what we're thinking of, that traditional, you know, they were that traditional family where grandma was cooking, and not only was she cooking, she was cooking all the time.
Non-stop.
Like, it was all day. You show up at the house at any time during the day and something is being cooked.
Right. That was her quote-unquote job.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
And,
She
did it.
I remember being a kid, we would go down to Georgia every summer, spend a month or two.
Oh,
so hang out with my
traditional.
Yeah, my uncles, and we'd fish and do all the things. And all the women there would be in the house and they'd be cooking. And we would get up in the morning and we'd have this massive breakfast. I mean, just massive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go out and we'd do some work, or we'd go fishing, we'd do whatever we do. And then they'd holler, it's lunchtime, get in here. This freaking massive lunch. And then we'd, same thing, we'd go do some things, and then they'd holler, it's dinner time, come in, just crazy dinner.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, that was one of the first times in my life where I was like, I can't eat anymore.
Yeah, I'm already too full.
Yeah. I was like, you know, maybe 12 years old or something. I was a hungry growing kid, but I couldn't eat all that anymore. But it was just crazy meals, all homemade, you know, all these things. That's how she how she always operated. And then of course when you get to the holidays, you know, we were over there for the holidays. And the spread on the table.
That was insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And the baked goods. I mean, she did probably like 12 different cookies.
Yeah.
Insane.
One of my good buddies, his mom was just the best baker in the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going over there for a sleepover, all of us and our buddies and stuff. And she always had something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was making multiple cakes. She was making buns for restaurants, all sorts of stuff. And she set out on their dryer machine that was next to the back door, you know, that were going in and out of to the yard, just a tray of buns, just like hamburger buns. And she had them glazed with like this butter, and they're shiny and you could see that they're warm. I started eating them, and I'm still kind of skinny. I bet I ate about 5 or 6 of those just the buns, just the hamburger buns.
Yeah.
Going so in good. Out
the door. They're so good.
Well, and what I remember, because obviously we've been together for so long, just back then, even just the neighbors would come over. It didn't matter. It was just like, come on over. Mm-hmm. Grandma's going to be feeding.
Yep.
But do you not, obviously that influenced your mom's cooking, and she did some of that for you guys. But do you think then, like you said, the society quick hamburger helper things was very attractive so you could be quicker?
And I think it was the lifestyle, like we touched on earlier. You know, that next generation, which is our parents, was
like, we're busier. Your kids
they
are busier.
Had more 9-to-5s. Yeah, the kids were more busy. Yeah. There was more traveling sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to go down an insidious path, but I do think that feminism thing plays a role in it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, that's coming right off the heels of freedom torches. You know what I mean by that? That was a movement, I think, in the 50s where women weren't supposed to be seen smoking cigarettes in public.
Oh.
and you know, Philip Morris and Marvel are like, fuck that, we're missing out on half yeah. our sales.
Yeah.
So Ed Bernays, one of the greatest marketers of all time, worked it into like a feminine movement. Like, let's get these women out smoking, marching, smoking cigarettes out in public, you know.
And they look pretty doing it.
And they look yep. pretty doing it and all yep. that and all that stuff. And it was a women's rights type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it played into all these psychological factors. And I think it was coming right off the heels of that. And I was like, yeah, if you want to show people and everyone that you're an important woman and you got a lot of shit to do, Hamburger Helper. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're still being a great mom. You're still making a good meal, but you're doing it economically and fast
and quicker.
And they yeah. made that damn Hamburger Helper taste good, too.
Oh, shit, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but think if we had helper? It today.
Tuna Helper?
Yeah. Even that, yeah.
Oh, no. My God. Sure, yeah. Oh, it's delicious. Yeah. What
Should
are you talking about?
Should we buy
about?
That and see if it's even that good? And it, you it know is. Way it's not.
Delicious. It's in so what's good. So wild, too, is the pricing. Because I was, yeah. It's been within like a month or two or whatever. I was grocery shopping and I looked and it was like $2 for that box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw a pound of hamburger in. So then you've got yeah. another $5. So you got $7 yeah. in a meal for $4.
Mm-hmm. And you can, there's always one on sale. So there's going to be one of the tuna helper boxes going to be 98 cents. And then you don't have to get the expensive tuna, can of tuna. You can mm-hmm. get the bumblebee tuna, the knockoff. tuna. That's like 89 cents. So right there,
yeah.
$2 feeds 4 people.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Yeah. And it is so good. Ooey, gooey.
It does taste good.
Oh my God, I love it.
I don't know. Have we ever done it?
No, because what we say is Hamburger Helper is macaroni and cheese, and then we throw hamburger in it. You yeah. just make macaroni and cheese.
It's
and you
true.
Put a pound of hamburger in it. We don't get like the actual package.
It is very, I mean, that's I what we've know. Always done. And I just did that because mm-hmm. like every now and then my dad would cook and that was like his go-to meal. I remember okay. was just
nice.
Kraft macaroni yeah. and cheese and hamburger in it. And I loved it.
Yeah. We all love it.
Yes,
still.
We carry it on, you know, here and there. But we had a lot of Hamburger Helper and it does like the options that you have in Hamburger Helper, like, really are yeah. wide.
Oh my god.
And there's
god,
a lot
yeah.
of different flavors.
Wow. We I'm not really are talking it. About
I'm,
hamburger.
I'm afraid.
A lot.
I'm afraid to introduce it because like Joel in particular, the 14-year-old, he's gonna be like, holy shit.
Except he's
keep
the
buying this.
No, except he's the one that really would rather just have mac and cheese. Like he's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, but I'm
with
telling you,
hamburger.
when he gets the flavor of yeah. this stuff
don't
in his mouth,
don't buy that shit. Then
and the specific kind of noodles and all this stuff.
No, you're not gonna like it. I'm gonna get it today.
Do
and
it.
We're gonna make it, and we'll see if you think it
do
tastes
the,
just like it did.
Do the tuna helper with the big spirals, and then add milk, not water, so make it a little creamier.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's crazy.
So
oh good. My gosh.
So what?
So what's
to,
your
wait to
theory?
Close out that part of it? What? What did your grandparents do? Do you remember?
So my grandparents didn't cook as much as what you're talking about your grandma, but my grandma always cooked, always.
Mm-hmm.
So that mm-hmm. she didn't stay at home. But she was always cooking. I mean, obviously as my grandma, yes, but she's was working with her children. So we always had Christmases at her house. Whenever we'd go over there, she'd make mm-hmm. breakfast. I mean, there was always something. Yeah. But yeah, definitely not to that extent. And now my dad's mom passed away, or you know, I was younger. So we mm-hmm. and we didn't spend as much time with them.
I think that also plays into why we have such fond memories of our grandparents, because smell puts mm-hmm. a lot into that.
Yeah.
And if it just always smells like cookies, mm-hmm. like waffles, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
like turkey dinner, like that really creates a strong.
Yeah, you know, I still memory. Love my mom's runzas. I brought
oh,
that
yeah.
up. I'm like, she made runzas before runza was around.
Pierogies, right?
Yeah, something. And yeah. I'm like, where is that recipe? I don't know. I'm like, no, seriously.
Yeah.
But there's a smell. So I want to know your theory. And it's probably, I
so
could guess.
For me in particular, obviously, we've talked about how much time I spent at my grandparents and how much time she cooked. So I was cooking with grandma often, not all the time, but she was sharing with me, you know, the techniques. I remember we always would be using the KitchenAid, you know, mixer all the time,
mm-hmm.
like doing all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of got to enjoy it. I think, you know, when I think about it, it was like this process that you get this end result, and then you get to step back and see and enjoy that end result, right? So it's mm-hmm. it's kind of like doing any other project where you put some time in, mm-hmm. and then you get back and you get to look at it, and you're like, and you get that satisfaction of I did this, especially if it's good and it
yeah.
works, right? So I experienced, I think, a lot of that, and that probably was what got me, you know, more interested if I hadn't had that exposure, where I think you guys probably didn't have that exposure, sounds like.
She didn't make, some of the other kids didn't, like your sister probably didn't help out as much. So there
you had to have had
some interest, and it probably was, like you said, the process, because you kind of like start to finish
it. But also we were there, we spent so much time at grandma and grandpa's, and it wasn't like kids today where we had a video game to fall back on or whatever else. It was like you need to find stuff to do.
Yeah, but you had neighbor friends. You could have gone.
If they were there,
there
was always some time you had to fill. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, like I said, grandma was cooking. So I'd just be like, "Let me see what's going on with that."
Yeah,
you know.
And Morgan, you know Ben better than anyone. I mean, at an early age, he was in touch with his feminine side, so he just felt at home in the kitchen.
See, Andy, I told you this wasn't going to be. I told you this wasn't going to be a sexist conversation. There was that, which I think, you know, kind of predisposed me to it. But then I go to, you know, my adulthood and how our experience is. And I've got buddies. I've got this friend group, you know, of like five or six dudes. We talk about cooking all the time.
Oh, my God. The amount of pictures that he takes of food.
Literally.
Like every meal.
Literally last night, one of my buddies was texting the whole group.
Than me.
And he was talking about how he was making these elk burgers. These Brussels sprouts and this jalapeno smear on the burgers and grilled onions.
I'm on board.
I mean, he's like, and he's got pictures of all this stuff, and he's doing all this. I know his wife, you know, helps him a little bit on some of these things, but a lot of it, he's doing all this. And I'm looking at these guys making these extravagant meals, you know what I mean? And my other buddies do the same thing. One of the buddies in that group literally went to the military, came back, went to school for culinary.
Yeah.
You know, got his culinary degree. He cooks, like he cooks these very pretty, extravagant plates. You know, all this, he's really into it, you know, that kind of thing. Like I said, work at home, I'm constantly cooking, you know, trying to think of new meals, new ways, all these kinds of things. Hmm. And I feel like it's just something that, you know, the generation before us, guys just didn't do. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, I'm seeing this all over the place. I'm on a lot of like, just because of stuff you look at on social media, you know, it shares you with you more of what you look at.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm seeing all these dudes doing this. I'm on a lot of barbecue forums.
I was going to say, you're probably part of some groups on different social media platforms.
All the crazy things guys are doing with barbecues. Mm-hmm. You know, these pellet grills have opened the door to so many different things you can do.
It allows me to pretend that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So to kind of get to like what my theory is, so I see all these guys doing this and I start thinking to myself, why are guys so into this? Like, what is going on? Like, it feels like we're trying to fulfill something that we're not getting. Mm. And my general idea is this hunter-gatherer mentality, right? So if you go all the way back and, you know, the men are the hunters and gatherers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They do all that. They bring it in. Mm-hmm. They throw it down. And then the women start preparing it and get it all together. And you get that satisfaction of that built-in drive that you have to provide.
Yeah.
Because you've gone out and you've provided.
Your prehistoric, you know, lizard brain that you can't beat.
Yep. You
know?
So, and you don't have to do anything else. You go and gather it. You've done that work. You bring it in and then someone else prepares it. You've met that need.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get that satisfaction anymore. That today is, and we've talked about Hy-Vee is my favorite grocery store, my favorite store, period. Think about it.
If they had clothes, we would buy them.
That's what I'm doing. When I go to Hy-Vee, if you break it down, I'm going hunting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, right. Okay.
I'm just running up and down the aisles, finding the shit that I'm going to provide to my family. Like, and I never think of it that way, but when I sit down and think about what is driving
what's
this,
what's going on here?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's not enough because that takes like 20 or 30 minutes.
Mm.
Where when I was...
And no effort, really.
Yeah, not really. Like, so when I, if I was, you know, generations ago... When I was actually going through the hunt, you know, that could have been days at a time.
Yeah.
You know, that's fulfilling that. So now I go spend 20 or 30 minutes, I round all this stuff up. Now I need to come home and I need to see it through and provide that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why so many men are doing that and they don't even realize it, is that we're missing out on that old true hunting and gathering constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is filling that gap, that need, that desire that we have.
Yeah. Well, and I think a big portion of what you're talking about never really left, because men always gathered around the grill, you know. Mm-hmm. The pool party's going on over mm-hmm. there. The women and children are playing. But the men, they got their beer and their mm-hmm. meat cooking mm-hmm. on the grill over here. And that goes back to what you're talking about. We clubbed this animal to death. We built a fire. Now we're throwing it on the fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that. I don't yeah. think that ever really went away. It got to a point where women probably did it a lot better as far as making food that everyone enjoys, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what happened there or not. But also, just, you guys are the caretakers. You're better at it. You got a better mindset, demeanor for it, where men are more aggressive and we're better at clubbing things to death and building fires, you know.
So. Right.
And we don't get to do that anymore.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, that's
why when people go hunting, like duck hunting or deer hunting, they can't even explain it, why they love it so much.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a big
right.
part of it.
You are an outdoorsman as much as anybody else that's listening to this, and you think about the amount of time that you actually mm-hmm. get to go out and truly hunt and harvest or mm-hmm. fish as well.
Yeah.
It is not that often. Like, nope. If you broke it down, it will break down to what, once a month?
Yeah, yeah.
If you went through the whole year's worth?
Yeah. Less than 15 days a year.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So even the guys who have it as something that is a lifestyle for them, mm-hmm. you're nowhere near getting that need fulfilled.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great point. And I do think there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays into what you're talking about, a level of satisfaction and just being a good man, a good father, or whatever. Like, you instinctively want to provide food, meat, shelter, mm-hmm. you know, all these things mm-hmm. to your family. So
yep.
how you go about that, go to Hy-Vee, you know, bullshit with the deli guy, mm-hmm. you
yep.
know,
yep.
get on your doom scroll. Oh, wow. Yeah. This is how we do it on the Traeger now. And I'm guilty as anyone,
yeah.
you know, figuring out how to do that. And it's just endless content too. Like, oh, wow. I looked up one way how to smoke a chicken, a full chicken, and all I did was follow the mm-hmm. stupid 2-minute video.
Yeah.
And
you did it.
I fooled everybody. They're like, oh my God, wow, you spatched it, or whatever it was called.
Spatchcock.
I spatchcocked it.
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Ashley knew it right away. She thought, oh my God, I've been wanting to do this. You actually, I'm like, oh yeah, no big deal.
Right. That's what I do. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, in general, that's my theory on why there's so many men getting involved in this and why you see more and more. I don't know, Andy, you've expressed kind of your thoughts on that. What do you guys think?
Go ahead.
There's also more going on to it. It's a continuation of the gender role push, where mm-hmm. some women really do resist it. We talk about that one rapper chick all the time. I don't cook, I don't clean.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that, like, you still gotta, that it feels like a population that's trying to grow that, even though it's not the majority. Mm-hmm. You just read the mm-hmm. stats a long ago. Most women don't feel that way, and most men don't feel that way. You also have shows like Hell's Kitchen and crap mm-hmm. like that that's masculine, you know. Mm-hmm. It's showing men that, yeah, if you want to be a badass man, you cook all this stuff and you yell at people and you make big fires, yeah. you know. Yeah. So, like, you have this huge... I'm sure they're only selling to one half the population. Let's get Gordon Ramsay, throw his KitchenAid at a guy for screwing up, and then yeah. let's open the door to the other half of the population to sell more KitchenAid shit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so I think there's a part of that going on right now as well.
Okay.
And that, I might be way off base.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense.
No, I think so too. And I mean, I guess I'm thinking of nowadays, thinking with little kids, if a lady is staying at home, the dad comes home, yay, hi, kids. I'll cook. Mm-hmm. So, like, some dads kind of do that role. Like, they're a dad, but they don't really want to do a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, I want to cook. And the wife's like, well, hell yeah, take this on my plate.
Yeah.
Like, go. You know, but then, so then it's kind of like another, like,
right.
the dad's there, mm-hmm. but they're kind of still then also busy. I don't know. That nope. makes, maybe paints a dad bad and maybe the wife, whatever. Not trying to. I just mm-hmm. feel like sometimes that could be happening, because a lot of dads don't want to take three children And the wife's like, go, get them out of my hair. I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just easier for the dad to be like, no, I got it. I'm gonna step in. Hi, kids. Yeah. Hi, kid. You keep mothering. You're good at that. I'll just do this. I don't know. That's kind of a thought.
And you kind of remind me of an old, really old coworker of mine when I was in sales. I totally believe, and he was one of these guys that was obsessive. Like, he was like a Gordon Ramsay wannabe type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, had all this equipment, did all the, every meal was like minimum of 3 hours and,
oh my gosh,
you know, 2 hours prep work and all this crap. But he goes, oh, women love men that can cook. You cook for a woman, especially like on a first or a second date. Oh my God. So like, I felt like he was playing the system to get some tail. You know what I mean? Like,
I would say that is attractive. I love it when he cooks. Like,
yeah, you're being served.
Yeah, it does take something off your plate. Like, a lot of times you are always serving. You're serving your children.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing a lot. Mm-hmm. You're doing the laundry. You're cleaning the house. There's just so much shit, yeah. I feel like, that if something can be done for you, you're like, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I think he had a really good angle. Pulling some wool there. So
yeah,
can't argue.
Yeah.
Ben's brain's like,
I outed him. That's how you got working. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I was kicking back when we met. But
no, you like were that. Burning up the George Foreman in the dorms, and
oh, that's true.
You had to evacuate the cooking. Dorms.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Couple other things. I don't know how to put this properly without being like offensive or step on myself, but in a way, I feel like it's, what would be the term that you use? Because the terms that I want to use, we shouldn't say on a podcast.
You can say whatever on a podcast.
Yeah, I know, but it's where like you're like, you're kind of like taking away some of that masculinity. And again, I'm not intending to be sexist. That's not what this is about. But basically, like, you're taking more and more of these men cooking, and like myself,
you're talking about having a gay old time.
It's like we're softening men up with this. Like, it's like naturally softening men, because again, we go back
because of cooking. No, yes, because, I do not think that,
because we go back to the time with the hunters and gatherers, and the men are, you know, out there grinding and killing things and, you know, bringing it in, and the women are prepping. And now, in order for us to fulfill that desire that we have that's built in, we've got to cook and get excited about how pretty our plates are.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I do. I'll make whatever and make this really nice sandwich or whatever, and then cross cut it and look at it and be like, oh man, look how pretty that is, right?
Let's pull get up a his picture camera roll.
I'm saying, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that wouldn't be something that you would traditionally,
I don't know,
relate to masculinity.
But men,
I don't know, men, but there's something about food that is a little bit masculine.
And I'm literally, everyone understands what's happening right now, I'm literally calling myself out.
Yes,
so I'm not talking trash about people.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But I think men always have had the capacity to appreciate beauty, whether that's food, women, a lake, you know, a vista, whatever. So I think some of that.
And yeah, because you guys are like visual people.
Yeah, and that gets to the core. Like, oh my God, a brisket coming off the smoker.
Yeah.
God. And we're like, okay, though.
That takes you right back to what you're talking about.
You take that thing and you slice it, and then like what everyone does online, and you squish the top of it, and all the juices come out, and you're like, ooh, look at that. I got to send that picture to somebody.
That's not softening the edge whatsoever.
I don't think so either.
That's reinforcing. I think what you're talking about is you feel like you're intruding into maybe a woman's
space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's not enough to just go club this animal to death and throw it on the fire or start the fire. Now I want to, you know, and like you're maybe taken away from your grandma's traditions or infiltrating, not interrupting, but you know, you're kind of inserting yourself, you know, and maybe you feel kind of weird about that. Like, yeah, do I really belong in here? You know, maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. It just feels like it feels like getting satisfaction out of that is a downgrade from where I should be getting my satisfaction in what it used to be.
Okay.
So it feels like I'm having to settle for pretty food.
But what are you then replacing it with? What should you not be?
That's what I'm saying. I'm having to settle for that as opposed to back when I was out there having to harvest it.
Right. But when
I'm not saying me. I'm saying men in general, generations. Not even cavemen. Even my grandfather. That's what my grandfather did. Like, when they moved, they were military. They moved around the country. He was hunting everywhere. He fed his family with wild game constantly.
Yeah. So he was like shooting geese.
They lived in Alaska. He was shooting caribou.
Right.
And they would eat on a caribou for a couple of months.
And it would take him, things like that. Probably 2 days to
100%
clean it, to clean 100%. It properly.
They would go on hunts as a military man. Mm-hmm. He would go on hunts in Alaska, hike into the tundra, find a random cabin that was just sitting there with a stack of wood out in front of it that was built for people to do this, stay there for a couple of days, harvest a caribou, cut up more firewood to make sure he left more for when the next guy comes.
Of course.
Haul that back home. I mean, that whole thing.
Right.
And then he wasn't cooking it and wanted it to look pretty. You know what I'm saying? No.
So I think that you guys are thinking every guy thinks like you need to be the provider. I don't know that that is actually accurate.
Well, that's.
I mean, you would hope
well, that's
so.
That's the softening that he's talking about. That's the erosion of the man.
That it's in you, and you never even did what that process that you're talking about. That's amazing that it's in you, but I don't think it's in a lot of guys that they're like, "Ooh, I need to hunt and gather," and but my ancestors did that. I think that ships sailed for a lot of people.
But the yearning to be a provider.
Do you think? I guess. I'm not a man. I don't know.
So. I hope so.
I would hope so too, but I don't know.
I also think that if you go back to Grandpa's day, I'm sure there was men that didn't have that drive and that desire that he had. Mm-hmm. But then what happens is those men get passed by.
Or their families don't eat.
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't eat. A lot of them probably don't even get the opportunity to have families because the women are looking at it going, this is the role that he has to play, and I can see that this dude is not going to play that role. I can't build a family with that dude.
Right. Yeah. And then it just kind of naturally takes care of itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the scales have tipped to where now, anything and everything's open, for discussion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just didn't know that it was that deep-rooted in a man.
I think
to
it is.
Provide. I knew that, but not to the extent of you explaining it. The hunting and gathering,
I think that's where a lot of this anxiety, this pent up rage comes from, because these things, these basic things that we don't want to admit we still have, aren't getting fulfilled, right? And so I would much rather see you take up cooking and smoking at smoking meat at an unhealthy obsession, than
to fulfill that.
Do that rather than be an asshole or shoot somewhere up, all that type of stuff.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah,
wow,
that's what I'm talking about. So the last thing that I have on that, which I think plays into this as well, is everyone talks about these love languages. And I've been told before that, well, that's your love language. You cook.
Mm.
That's never not a love language. Cooking?
It's not?
No, it's like... cooking is not one. It's touch...
I mean, I'm pretty sure that you had told me that's my.
There's five love languages. Yeah. Cooking is not one.
You're a cold woman.
Acts of service.
Yeah, but that's what feels.
Okay,
so that's
but
what
it
I'm
doesn't
getting
say
at.
Cooking.
Of course not. That's not what I'm saying.
You're.
That's
are
what,
you saying
that's
like,
what I'm getting at?
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Like a
acts
saying like
of
that.
Service, receiving gifts, quality time, words of affirmation. What's the next one? There's one more.
Hamburger helper.
Physical touch. Yep.
So let me finish before you
jump
got
your guns.
All mad. Yeah, and started freaking out.
I know, but I'm like, I have not said cooking is your lawful.
No, you have said that this is what you like to do. This is your love language. This is what you like to do for people. So back to that. So they say these love languages, and that would fall under acts of service. 100%, because your actions speak louder than your words, know, whatever. So what I'm saying is that a lot of people will say that we're like, this person just loves to cook for people and just like gets satisfaction, you know, mm-hmm. of seeing them get satisfaction and so on and so forth. While that's true, all I wanted to point out was that that's not the love language. It's that it's this whole thing that we've been talking about. It is that acts of service because that's what my grandfather was doing when he was out going on those hunts.
Yep. Providing.
Yeah. Yep. Getting himself beat up and bringing that back to the family. So now, and this ties back into what I've been saying this whole time, is now this is how we do that. So if you have that acts of service, which is a provider kind of thing, which is, if I had to guess, I don't know a lot about love languages, but I would guess that that's probably a big one for men,
mm-hmm.
is the acts of service.
Sure.
And that all ties into what exactly what we're talking about here. So again, why so many more men are cooking today, that's what I'm saying, is that they're able to fulfill that by way of that cooking and that putting it on the plate and watching people eat it.
It fulfills a lot of deep mental needs that maybe you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
So Andy must not have that?
I guess not.
I'm just a bad dude. I think there's obviously more ways to fulfill that.
He takes the trash out. There's acts of services everywhere. Right. Like, he's doing all these other things for his family. I get it. I just had to give him shit because he doesn't cook.
But my point is in these families, so then I'll kind of finish with this, where we've got a population of women who are more likely to not be excited about it. Mm-hmm. So they're more willing to hand it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got these men who have this need to do something. So these two things naturally come together. Yeah. And the women are like, yeah, if you're going to do it, shit, I don't need to mess with it. And if the men are thinking, or don't even realize they're thinking, like, yes, this is satisfying a need for me, it all just happens. And that's what that kind of comes to, like, kind of the wrap up of my theory of why so many more men are doing this rise. Today.
Yeah. And you guys are a perfect, like, a picture perfect example of that. Morgan, you've been mowing down deer last couple of seasons, and you've been cutting it up and fixing it in fun different ways.
Yeah, you know?
So that's a complete reversal from just a generation ago.
Absolutely is. Yeah.
And it's not wrong. Like, don't get me wrong.
No, the moral of the story, I'm not saying necessarily that there's anything wrong here, although I think there is something wrong here with that, you know, us as men aren't able to do those kinds of things that we used to do, but
just need to find a good direction to point it towards.
Yeah,
and if it's cooking, great.
Right,
you know, I have nothing against that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I got. What's that noise?
I don't know. I was thinking it's a dog.
You know, earlier we had a loud hum coming through, and that's because the windows were open.
I thought that too.
Rain was really coming down.
I wonder if it's going to have some.
But that's a nice calming sound. So I think that might have added a little bit.
Is this episode going to put everybody to sleep?
Maybe
make them feel nice and relaxed. Yeah.
And then make them want to cook and all that.
Eat some tuna helper.
So speaking of that, we had a conversation last night laying in bed, and I was like, we need to start setting meat out better. Did you set something out this morning?
No.
Anyways.
Well, why don't you guys come over? We have some verger venison that we mixed with pork. You guys were there when we did that once.
Yeah, that was so good.
I actually made those burgers. So I can do that for you guys.
Andy's stepping up and cooking.
Yeah, I can do that. You remember that. You know, I thought those were pretty good.
Well, we're supposed to have a baseball game, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
Probably going to get rained out.
Yep.
We got ours last night.
So. You did?
Yeah.
Might be good. A nice little night off since baseball's, every freaking night this week?
Yep. There you go. You can open up the garage, cook something out in the garage, right?
Yes, sir.
There we go.
Well, hopefully this was entertaining to you. Have a little glimpse into the mind of Ben. My mind is still not settled on this topic, so I'll still keep thinking about it.
So what else needs to be said?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, because now we brought other points to you that you need to process and marinate on for 6 months?
Thinking about it. Yeah.
Okay.
This could be a series.
So we'll probably revisit this.
I want to hear feedback from other guys. Like, at some point, like all the dudes that I was telling you about that are my buddies, we'll all be together somewhere and I'll bring this up. And they'll probably all, like, not even respond and think I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to hear responses from people like,
well, tell them to listen to this
like
episode.
Either, you're right. I feel the same way. Or, no, dude, this is why you're wrong. This is what's actually going on. Yeah. You know,
there's
whatever.
Nothing more
but I think straight out of the gate, people will naturally get defensive.
Of course.
You know, and be like, no, I'm not. that's not a hit on my masculinity of just course. Because I cook.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's not necessarily what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is realize, like, we used to do way harder things
than cooking.
And now we can do these easy, simple things and get the same satisfaction, but is it doing us any good?
But is cooking easy and simple? I mean, it is, can
it
be.
It is compared to going hunting when you for make a 2 meal. Days in the Alaskan...
Yeah. 15 guys trying to tackle tundra. A woolly mammoth, yeah. you know, or a mastodon.
Yeah.
So, but when you make complicated meals, then you're like leveling up in your own mind.
I mean,
you're like, ooh, maybe. I'm going to make this harder.
It's the difference between, I guess, a mental exercise and a physical exercise.
Okay.
Because that would be more of a mental exercise in trying to figure out how to prepare all the things and get them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It, physically, you're walking around in the kitchen, you're using your legs and your arms, moving things. But the physical exercise of... Yeah. You know what? I'm beating a dead horse at this point, but that's what
I got. Getting at.
Yeah. Let's hear from some of those folks out there. Leave a comment.
We'd love
right?
to. We haven't talked about that for a while. Go on if you're listening on iTunes or
Spotify.
Is it iTunes? Is that what they call it now? iTunes? No, it's just the Apple. iPod. Yeah. iPod app. iPod? No. I don't even know what Apple is.
Apple Music?
It's just iTunes?
It's the Apple Podcast.
Isn't it called iTunes?
Apple Podcast app is what it is.
It's purple. Yeah.
Or YouTube.
Or YouTube.
Any we of are those. So special today.
I'll get the video up on this one quick.
And so you can get that shirt. Yeah.
We need you guys to comment and just say hello and let us know what you think.
And then, you get a shirt or a hat.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
If you send me your address, I will send you a free shirt or hat. We just sent one last week.
Yeah.
Nice.
Last thing I have, just want to give a shout out to Barnow. Those guys are working with us. We really appreciate them. We've got some great cameras out here, surveillance cameras, using them for game cams as well. They emailed me and they have a fully native downloadable app coming up in the iOS and Google Play Store. That's going to be available any day. Right now, we're using kind of a web version of it, which is awesome, but I'm really looking forward to that app. So they're continually upgrading. They've got some other cool products coming out as well.
Sweet.
But any cameras that you're looking to hang, you want to check out, you want to watch the traffic on your road, you want to monitor your herd, you want to whatever, any of those ways that you want to do that.
Turkey hunting. Like
exactly. Cellular connected, sends the photos to your phone. You can get solar panels on there to power it up. But check them out, barnowl.tech, code FARM. Focused, you're going to get 10% off. Stay tuned. We'll send you some more updates on what those guys have going on, too. So,
I'm going to start wearing my Rock Rooster boots. So.
That's right. We'll have some feedback on that.
Okay.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Get out there and get to cooking, you wusses.
And take some pictures.
Yeah. And send them to all your buddies and put them on Instagram.
Oh, cook my like gosh. A man, you pussy.
Yeah.
Peace.
All right. We'll see you.